Our text for this evening is from the Gospel reading, John chapter 19, verses 38 through 40. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. And from the epistle reading, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is our text. Dear Christian friend, in our midweek Lenten worship, we have been considering various aspects of friendship that are epitomized by what Jesus does for us, including interceding and understanding and having compassion and serving. All of these things are ways of helping. A good friend knows when you need help and what kind of help you need, and is willing and able to give that help. Jesus told a parable once about a man who went to a friend in the middle of the night, and he knocked on his door and he said, another friend has come to me, and I don't have any food to feed him. Would you loan me some bread? And he said, the friend inside says, I'm in bed with my family. I can't get up and give you anything. But Jesus went on, if he keeps on knocking and asking, that man will get up and give it to him anyway. Now, his point is not that we need to pester God in that way, but that we should even more confidently keep asking God for the things we need, because he is sure to give us what we need and what we want, if even a human friend would do that in this situation. So our text from Hebrews 4, verse 16, assures us this is true, because Jesus is a helping friend to whom we can go in prayer. So as we think about this, we think about how we need help from friends, how it is good to have friends who can help, and how Jesus helps us in the hour of death. Let's think first about how we need help from friends. I've read that baseball player Whitey Hayes once said, an old friend will help you move. A good friend will help you move a dead body. Well, if that's true, then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus must have been good friends of each other and also good friends of Jesus, even though John 19 is the only place in the Bible that we find them mentioned together. Now, when one of them asked the other, I don't know which one it was, for help in moving a dead body, didn't mean what one might imagine, but I do think it took some courage and some boldness. Not only were they aware that indicating any connection between them and Jesus would ruin their positions as members of the Sanhedrin, which was united against Jesus, but crucifixion by the Romans publicly identified one as the worst of criminals. And so what they did surely caught the attention of the public and Roman officials as well. So in many ways, Nicodemus and Joseph needed a friend to help them do what it was that they were doing. Funerals have a way of bringing people together. Nobody can bury themselves, not even Jesus. This is definitely a time when you need the help of others. There are times, however, throughout our life, when we need someone to help us with things that we simply can't do by ourselves. We need somebody to hold the other end of the rope, or whatever it is we are holding up. This is true physically, but also spiritually and emotionally. We are created to be social beings. God said it is not good for Adam to be alone without a helper. When the Holy Spirit brings people to faith, he also brings them into the church. Because while sin separates us from God and from others, isolation thinking, oh, it's just all about me and Jesus, is a misunderstanding of what it means to be a Christian. When someone needs help, it is important for us to help because of our common humanity. Jesus is graciously willing to help us, both because he is God and also because he shares with us that common humanity. But sometimes it may be difficult or impossible for us to do what is truly helpful, even when we want to. And so it is good to have friends who can help. Why was it, these foes? It was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea who buried Jesus, not Peter, James, and John, or his family. I think it may have been because they were the only ones uniquely made able by God to help in the way that was needed right here. First of all, as Pharisees, they were, and members of the Sanhedrin, they had influence and power. Joseph apparently also had the right connections with government to get permission to get the body. And as Pharisees, they were probably rich, which is confirmed by the fact that Matthew tells us that it was a tomb newly made for Joseph's own family that they laid Jesus in. That ended up fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy that he was with the rich in his death. When we have friends who are able to help us, and when we are friends ourselves who are able to help, it is because of God's gracious gifts to us as well. Sometimes, however, we may try to help and find that it's not that helpful. We may try to lift a heavy burden and end up dropping our end of it so that it crashes down. We might, for example, try to help somebody who is drowning and end up needing that life preserver for ourselves. We might be like a scout eager to help one cross the street that really doesn't want to cross that street. This can happen both literally and figuratively. We may help with advice that's not that good. We may try to help someone who's struggling with poor behavior, but end up simply enabling them to continue instead. We may try to help somebody in danger, but make the situation more dangerous for everyone. When we help, we need to make sure that we're offering real help. And when we need help, we want to make sure to go to one who has the wisdom and the power to offer real help. This one is Jesus, who our text tells us sits at the throne of power on high. His gospel is not just self-help advice about trying harder or resolving to do better. His worship is not just about what we have to offer him. The story of his death is not just to arouse sympathy for him, feeling bad about how we have failed him. Jesus is able to offer us real help when nobody else can. Especially, Jesus helps us in the hour of death. We read, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Nicodemus and Joseph needed to help each other to bury Jesus because moving dead bodies is hard. They only sag. They don't do anything that's helpful. This is true of those who are spiritually dead as well. They can't help. We are all naturally conceived and born spiritually dead. This is why Jesus told the same Nicodemus earlier that we must be born again. Like our first birth, there's nothing we do to cause it. There is no goodness hidden somewhere inside of us that needs to be discovered or tapped into. There is no urge to reach out and find God or ask him to come and help us. There is nothing that we're able to do to meet God halfway or finish salvation once he gets us started. We cannot seek, we cannot choose, we cannot decide on our own because we are dead. And dead people can't do anything. And so God does everything. He does all the lifting for us. God chose us before the foundation of the world to be loved by him. God became man in Jesus in order to fulfill the whole law for us and to suffer everything, including death, for us. So that when Jesus says, "It is finished," That means that he has finished everything that needs to be done for our salvation. And God caused the Holy Spirit caused this gospel to be written down for us and to be preserved. He made sure that we heard this word. He called us through it. Like when Jesus called Lazarus, who was already rotting, but when Jesus calls him out of the grave, his call caused him to come to life. God's call of the gospel is what causes us to come to life. And he takes hold of us gently but firmly with his word and with the sacraments to turn us to repentance. He breathes life into us and he fans the flames. He causes the fruit of righteousness to start growing new attitudes in our lives through our connection with Jesus the vine. He works inside of us to cause the good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And he goes on, he guards our faith from the devil's temptations and from his taunts and doubts. He preserves our faith even when we're sleeping and are not aware of it. He holds on to us and he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And finally, at the time he chooses, he receives our spirit from us. He gently carries us in his arms to our resting place. But unlike Joseph and Nicodemus, he does not leave us in the grave. As Joseph put Jesus into his tomb, Jesus unites us with him in his death, which means that we are also united with him in his resurrection. He carries us all the way to eternal rest in heaven. We have confidence of this because of Jesus, our friend in need. We need help from friends because of all we can't do by ourselves, we need Jesus' grace. It's good to have friends who can help. Jesus, who sits on the throne, has the wisdom and the power to truly help us. Jesus helps us when no one else can in the hour of our death. He helps us in what we cannot do for ourselves and no one else can by carrying us to be with him forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.